This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trump met with Zelensky today. We have gay cheerleaders. We have Liz Wheeler. We have all that and more coming up on I'm Right. Okay, so let's talk about the meeting seen and heard around the world today. Zelensky flew in, had a meeting at the White House. But before we get to that, let's talk a little bit about the background of it. As you are well aware, Vladimir Putin flew into Alaska last week and met with Donald Trump. And as I'm sure you have seen by now, during this meeting, we flew a bomber overhead. Here it was. Kind of a cool moment. Let me explain. First of all, I don't think that that moment had some kind of a lasting effect on Putin. I understand why we did it, but Putin would understand why we did it too. This is something nations have a history of doing. Here's a little tidbit for you. The B-29 Superfortress during World War II was the greatest bomber on Earth. It could fly further, drop more bombs. And we used the B-29 Superfortress to bomb Japanese cities to dust. And they were well aware of this plane. They couldn't even get anti-air weapons up high enough to shoot it down. It basically laid waste to the country of Japan. When we invited the Japanese on board the USS Missouri to sign the peace documents of unconditional surrender, we took a lot of B-29 Superfortresses and flew it directly over their heads while they were signing the documents. So this is not something new. We didn't reinvent the wheel here, but it's something countries do. Kind of a cool moment. Now let's move on to today. Zelensky shows up at the White House, and look, no matter what, it had to go better than it went last time.
I'm talking about the kind of diplomacy that's going to end the destruction of your country.
Yes, but if you
Mr. President, with respect, I think it's disrespectful for you to come into the Oval Office and try to litigate this in front of the American media. Right now, you guys are going around and forcing conscripts to the front lines because you have manpower problems. You should be thanking the president for trying to bring it into this conflict.
Have you ever been to Ukraine that you say what problems we have?
I have been to...
Come once.
I've actually watched and seen the stories, and I know what happens is you bring them on a propaganda tour, Mr. President.
You will feel it in the future.
You don't know that.
God bless. You will not have a war.
Don't tell us what we're going to feel. We're trying to solve a problem. Don't tell us what we're going to feel.
War.
You're not
Mr.
in a good position.
I don't have
the cards right now. With us, you start having
cards.
Right now, you don't.
I'm very serious, Mr. President.
You're gambling with the lives of millions of people. You're gambling with World War III.
Not great. So let's focus on how it went today. Here's just a little cut up of the biggest moments from the White House or from the Oval Office.
If everything works out well today, we'll have a trilat. And I think there will be a reasonable chance of ending the war when we do that. But we're going to work with Ukraine, we're going to work with everybody, and we're going to make sure that if there's peace, the peace is going to stay long term. This is very long term. We're not talking about a 2-year peace and then we end up in this mess again.
Okay. So let me just give you my opinion on a couple things. First, I am extremely skeptical that this will end in peace. Extremely skeptical. The different sides have different motivations. Putin right now has a hold of the land he wants and they can't get him out of it. What motivation does he have? Zelensky has gotten world famous and very, very rich, and Zelensky doesn't want to have an election, which we'll get to in a moment. Why does Zelensky want it to end? I mean, maybe he's a super patriotic Ukrainian, but to be honest, the war has worked out pretty well for Zelensky. I just don't know. It's very difficult to end a war. Historically, it's difficult to bring two sides together and end a war. Sue for peace, come up with an agreement. It's very difficult. So I'm cynical. I am. I'm skeptical. But, Donald Trump has done wonderful things on the world stage. He has. He deserves all the credit in the world for it. And if this war was about to end, it would go exactly like it's going right now. Meet with Putin, hash some things out. Meet with Zelensky, hash some things out. Trump gets on the phone with Putin afterwards. Let's come up a meeting time. But if it's going to end, we're going through all the steps we're going through to end it. So let's hope it ends. I do want to touch on one thing, though, that is a very, very big thing before we bring in Francis Martel to talk about the nitty-gritty of Europe's motivations and Russia's motivations and everything else. Something Zelensky said today about the fact that Ukraine is not having elections. Here he was.
Upon peace, God willing, we get peace. Are you open to holding an election in your country?
Yes, of course. We are open for election, yes. We have to do safety circumstances, and a little bit we need to work in the parliament, because during the war you can't have elections, but we can do security. We need a truce, yes, everywhere, in the battlefield, in the sky, in the sea, yeah, to make possible for people to do democratic, open, legal elections.
Okay. Why haven't they had elections? Constitution says they can't have them during martial law. Zelensky's the one who declared martial law. Now, I don't want to sit and drop all this in Zelensky's lap. Martial law, in part, is because Russia's flying drones into civilian populations, rockets and missiles. You're trying to keep people inside. I understand all that. I understand that this is a much more complicated situation than the internet would have you believe. My point on this is you should always have elections. And the most important time to have elections is during a war. That's the most important time during a war. Why? Because Zelensky isn't going to die. He's in really no physical danger here. But legions and legions of Ukrainians are dying. Legions and legions of Ukrainian mothers now have lost their sons. Wives have lost their husbands. Children have been orphaned. The Ukrainian people are doing the dying and the suffering. And in a free country, the people doing the dying and the suffering should have a say in who is leading their country during the dying and the suffering. Otherwise, it's not a free country. It's a tyranny. And don't tell me about Russia has this much Ukrainian territory or Ukrainian people have left. We had an election here during the Civil War. I don't want to hear it. Have an election. Give the people a say. Anyway, let's talk to Francis. Joining me now, Breitbart International News Editor, one of our favorites here, Francis Martel. Okay, Francis, everybody understands all the internet talking points with the Putin meeting and the flyover and now Zelensky from today, but the actual real news, the real information, can you walk us through what has been happening in the past several days, weeks? What's the progress? Is there progress? Is this all? What's going on?
So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of information that is unconfirmed, right? So the stuff actually coming from the Kremlin, okay, from the White House, from Ukraine, is not, it's not a whole lot, especially on the Russian side. We got that amazing meeting with Putin on Friday where Trump brought out, you know, the biggest hardware we have basically to scare him. And now we have Zelensky in the White House. And all we're hearing is that we are working toward a trilateral meeting. What we want to do is get Putin and Trump and Zelensky in the same room to work something out, and Trump has ruled out a ceasefire because he doesn't trust either side to actually adhere to a ceasefire. So now what we want is a permanent peace of some sort. That is what the White House is pushing. And then we have the Europeans, this parade of European leaders that are going to the White House today to protect their own interests, which include buying Russian fossil fuels. So they're in the mix too, but they're kind of sidelined, and now we're just waiting to see what happens with the Zelensky meeting.
Okay, I'm sorry, Francis, but I'm going to just suck every bit of knowledge out of your head as possible as I try to understand all the players in this game. Let's focus on what I think is the least important entity you just mentioned, the European leaders. Okay, they want Zelensky to fight on forever. At the same time, they're buying Russian gas. Can you please untie this knot for me? I'm an idiot and I'm confused.
So there are two competing interests here, right? There is the Western European interest in buying cheap Russian oil and gas, especially as the winter is coming up. August is a great time to get rid of some sanctions, to get some cheap fuel for the winter, right? And then there's the Eastern European concern that Russia is going to keep invading things. Vladimir Putin has a terrible record of not invading things. It's not just Ukraine. It's regions of Georgia that he's invaded several times. He's threatened multiple states, and he's been pretty open about his lament about the fall of the Soviet Union. So you have countries like the Baltics and like Poland that are very worried about growing Russian military aggression. And then you have the Western Europeans like France and Germany that are saying that they're worried about that, but what they're really worried about is their own people heating their homes in the winter.
Okay. So they want the war to stop?
I think they want the sanctions to be lifted, the Western Europeans. And if the war keeps going, it's not really their business. Ideally, if the war ends, that would be good for them. But there's no major compelling Western European interest to end the war. The interest is to lift the sanctions that are a result of the war.
Okay, now let's shift to Russia here. And I'm going to, I guess I'll make probably a couple statements with my question. As you know, feel free to tell me I'm a moron and I got it wrong. Putin has roughly 15% of Putin has roughly 15% of Ukraine. He appears to have most or all of the parts of Ukraine he wanted to have, and he is not, from my understanding, politically unpopular back home. What's his incentive to deal anything?
Well, I think he, you know, the premise that he's politically unpopular at home or politically popular at home is based, you know, on a lot of Russian dubious surveys and also on the fact that a lot of the people home are still, you know, it's middle-aged and older. I think young people in Russia are extremely frustrated with their economic situation, their growing isolation, and the fact that all these young men are being sent out to Ukraine. But at the same time, those young men, if they were at home, they would have pretty limited economic prospects, you know, the same birth rate situation that every developing country is having is happening in Russia. And so there is this risk that I think does fuel part of Putin's drive to keep the war going of young, able-bodied men in Russia getting frustrated, seeing the government as tyrannical and actually organizing a viable opposition to Putin. And I think getting rid of those guys, giving them something else to do, namely going to war, that benefits Putin tremendously.
Okay. So Zelensky, we heard today Zelensky's going to have to kind of give up Crimea, which is kind of hilarious. He's already given it up. It's been taken. And he can't join NATO. So why would Zelensky end it? What incentivizes Zelensky to end it?
I think, you know, on his end, personal reasons are probably the biggest. He hasn't really been able to live with his wife and kids since the war started. But also the same fear of his own people that Putin has. And with that, it goes both ways, right? Because the Ukrainian people tend to, you know, when we do look at protests even that have happened against Zelensky, they're worried that too much concession means that Putin is going to keep the war going. They want the war to end, but they think that conceding might not necessarily lead to that. It might expand the war. So he has to deal with that, but he also has to deal with the widows and the orphans and the people that are tired of running away from this war, and they want some sort of stability in their lives. And I think that if they don't see that Zelensky is working towards peace in a good faith manner, if the impression starts to look like Zelensky's prolonging the war, for example, to avoid having an election or for his own personal interests, then he's going to have a serious problem on his hands. The Ukrainian people are not shy about overthrowing their presidents and kicking them out of the country.
Okay, let's talk about that not having an election thing. The world has understood and accepted that Vladimir Putin is a tyrant. Of all my problems I have with Putin, honestly, that's my biggest problem. He won't have elections. He keeps arresting his political opposition. That's a tyrant to me, and I hate tyrants. Zelensky has done the same, has he not? I don't like it. It looks bad. And I know he said today you can't have an election during a war. I think that's the most important time to have an election.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you completely. I think the difference between Zelensky and Putin, though, is the Ukrainian constitution. The Ukrainian constitution is a mess. Ukraine has been a country since, you know, the early 90s. So this is a very experimental text. And the constitution actually does ban elections during military rule. So for him to legally hold an election, he would have to lift martial law. And he's saying, I can't lift martial law if there's Russian drone strikes all over these apartment buildings in eastern Ukraine. I simply cannot do it. Similarly, the Ukrainian constitution doesn't allow like deals to switch control of land from one place to another. And I think it was just, it's a poorly written document. At this point, I think Ukraine should strongly consider just rewriting the whole thing. And I'm the last person that would come out and say, you know, the solution to this is throwing away the constitution in most countries. But the Ukrainian constitution is deeply flawed. And it's convenient for Zelensky, but it is also just a reality that this document is no good.
Okay, now security guarantees. We continue to hear this internet buzzword. We need security guarantees. You're going to provide security guarantees, right? Could you expand on that past the two-word phrase that it has become? What does that mean?
Security guarantees are threats to Russia to prevent Russia from invading again, essentially making the cost of invasion so high that the Russians won't do it because the cost benefit doesn't work. And it's implicitly vague, it's intentionally vague, because no one wants to give the security guarantees, right? The biggest security guarantee that Ukraine had was its nuclear weapons, and they gave that up. And we've seen every nation that gives up nuclear weapons essentially have a massive political upheaval and then chaos. Obviously, Libya is the main example, but Ukraine had a similar situation where, you know, if they had nuclear weapons, that would be a security guarantee. Russia would not invade that country. And that is not the case here. And obviously, there's no replacing those nukes. So then that leaves open, okay, what is a security guarantee? And I think what Ukraine wanted initially was joining NATO, which would essentially be like regaining nukes, because if Article 5 is triggered, then nuclear armed states would be in a conflict with Russia. But none of the states that would have to pony up to answer to Article 5 want to do that. No one wants to engage in a nuclear powered war with Russia. So that leaves a major question of what these guarantees are. And right now we don't really know.
Okay. Now, finally, if this thing collapses, if there's no trilateral meeting where they walk away with a peace agreement, let's stop killing each other, little land for you, little land for me. If that does not happen, and if I sound skeptical, it's because I am. Where do we go from here? Trump has threatened both sides with fairly vague terms, but what happens from here?
Well, I think the biggest question for Ukraine is, what is the United States going to do about all this money we're spending about this? And I think Trump's solution to that has been make the Europeans pay for it. And, you know, to add to your cynicism, I think the big result of it would be the war would continue in an isolated spot of Ukraine. They just decide this piece of the Donbass is where we're going to keep having war, but we're going to stop bombing each other in other civilian areas. And the Europeans are probably going to start buying a lot of Indian oil, which is essentially Russian crude that has been refined in India, so they can get their cut without violating the sanctions. And Trump can sell American weapons to the Europeans that they have the money for because they're buying cheaper Indian Russian oil. And then it goes on and on and on. That is a very possible situation here, where we just see this go on indeterminately until either, you know, one or two of the leaders of these countries either die or get replaced. And then we'll see what happens. This is, you know, this is a 10-year plus old war at this point. And we've seen wars go for far longer, you know, Afghanistan probably being the record. But it's very likely that if this doesn't succeed, we're just going to see more trudging through this violence with no real clear definition of victory.
Well, that's friggin' awful. By the way, how are things in Afghanistan this year?
They're rough. They're rough. The Taliban just celebrated their 4 years in power, and they are actually doing pretty well. Russia is the only country in the world that recognizes the Taliban as a government, but they demanded last week that President Trump give them the Afghan embassy back in Washington. They're getting very cozy with China, and the lives of Afghans are horrible. Women can't leave their homes, essentially. There's a tremendous poverty. The farming is a disaster. It's not good. It's a really horrible situation.
Well, if you can't trust the jihadi to run your economy, then who can you trust? Francis, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Well, that was all awful. There's a lot of people dying, and life's really bad in a lot of places. But whatever, all that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. Look, all I can say personally is you can feel better. Your mood can be better. Your energy can be better. Start taking some natural herbal supplements from Chalk, and you're about to feel a whole lot better. Did you know that? I am such a believer. I will admit, a skeptic at the beginning. Well, natural supplements. Wow. I've been taking a male vitality stack from Chalk for over 3 years. My energy and mood are just, my mind works so much better than it was. It's like a fog has just slowly gone away. It is amazing. They have female vitality stacks for women, male vitality stacks for men. Maybe you're a workout freak. They have Chad mode. It's a pre-workout, all natural. The natural herbal supplements from Chalk are amazing and life-changing. Go get a subscription. Chalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth
and help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah.
America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to talk about communist mentality here, how they think versus how we think. We try to have these conversations as off as humanly possible right here on I'm Right, because it helps me, it helps you understand not what we're seeing, why we're seeing what we're seeing. Why are the communists doing this? Why are they doing that? And so often the right still does not understand it. And really, the main principle behind why we oftentimes don't understand what we're up against is we think we're up against Democrats, liberals, people on the left, when in reality, we are up against a conquering religion of destruction. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you see them that way. Well, actually, it does matter, but that's how they see themselves. They see themselves as conquerors. They are marching forward. They are trying to vanquish evil. And what is evil? Everything good. Everything that is awesome. The United States of America, family, church, right, wrong. They're trying to vanquish all that, eliminate it all. And so they are conquering. That's what they are doing. And you can tell the right still does not understand why the communist does the things he does. And, you know, I'm going to actually use the NFL, of all things, as a great example of this. the Minnesota Vikings rolled out some gay cheerleader. Now, there have always been male cheerleaders, the high school, college, whatever, always been male cheerleaders. They're always these big, huge, stocky dudes who toss women around. You know, that most of the time, they're the most alpha guys out there. Not this one. This one is as flamboyant and feminine-like as humanly possible. And I watched NFL fans all weekend since this announcement say things like, why? Why are they doing this? Why are they doing this? The Panthers have a tranny cheerleader. Speaking of the NFL, they put out a message that they're forcing teams to have things like end racism and choose love in the end zone. And people on the right are confused because they're saying, why? Why can't I just watch the game? Why can't they just leave me alone? Why can't we just enjoy sports? Why do they have to do this? I love this stuff. Why can't they just leave it alone? But you see, you just answered your question. You answered your own question. They can't leave it alone because you love it. Don't think for a single second that the communist has conquered things you care about by accident. That he's just kind of out there conquering again everything, and he just happened to stumble, whoopsie, into that thing that you enjoy with family and friends on a Sunday afternoon in November. Don't think it was an accident at all. If you do, you do not understand the way the communist thinks. Allow me to explain this as it pertains to entertainment, because we'll move on to a couple other things that are important, but as it pertains to entertainment. Entertainment is a critically important part of culture, every single culture, not just American culture. It's easy, especially for people like me, to be dismissive of it. Oh, no one cares what this actor says. No one cares about sports. No one, that stuff's not important. Can't we just talk about taxes? Very easy to say things like that. But entertainment has always been an important part of every single culture. Entertainment does things to a culture, beneficial things, extremely beneficial things. Greek mythology. You know about Greek mythology, right? Zeus and Apollo, and you know about Greek mythology, where the gods and Mount Olympus, and you know all those stories. The stories of Icarus flying too close to the sun, and you know all the crazy stories. Fascinating stories, aren't they? Wonderful. Great read, even today. But what was the point of them? Because they're very old. And they performed those stories. They read them to each other. They performed them in plays in Greek auditoriums. Why? Because there are important lessons to be had from those stories. Teaching society lessons about everything. Greed, jealousy, lust, bravery. Good lessons, bad lessons, entertainment matters. Hollywood, American Hollywood, used to be, you know, John Wayne films. Tough guy, you be brave, you be tough. Die on behalf of women and children if you have to. Fight against evil. That was important. It mattered. I've told you before, John Wayne movies helped shape my moral upbringing. I know it's wild, but it's true. The NFL. What about sports? Critical part of entertainment. Sports not only trains young men to be more physical, learn teamwork, actually, and young women, be more physical, learn teamwork, learn hard work. Sports is wonderful for a society. My 16-year-old gets up every single day now, 5 a.m., feeds himself breakfast, drives himself to practice. That's learning hard work values that'll carry him the rest of his life. It's not just that sports brings that. Sports is a unifying part of society. Unifying part of society. Don't think that this is just America. Did you know that in ancient Rome, the chariot races were the biggest thing around, and that there were teams, just like today, when the Yankees play the Red Sox or the Patriots play the Chargers, there were teams. There would be red team or blue team, and you would wear your team's jersey, and you'd argue about it, and you'd show up at the chariot races. Why? It brings people together. No more distractions, no more politics, no more. Let's go together and see something amazing, see entertainment, root for my side, root against your side. Sports matter a lot. The NFL in particular. Maybe you're an NFL fan, maybe you don't care about it. I haven't watched it in years. I used to be the biggest NFL fan in the world. They turned me off with all the Black Lives Matter stuff. But Whether or not you're a fan doesn't matter. The NFL was enormous. There was a time back when I was watching NFL, and I don't know that it's still this way, it probably is, where 9 of the 10 most watched TV shows every year were NFL games. NFL is enormous. People love it. People watch it. Well, the communist, he can see TV ratings too. He's not going to let that go. If this is an important sport that matters to people, where Americans sit down and watch it, you have to think like a demonic conqueror. That's what the communist is. If it entertains people, if it brings people together, if it teaches values, he's going to conquer it. And they did. They started working their way through the NFL offices, of course, hiring the latest communists from Stanford, latest communists from Columbia, and they worm their way like the virus they are through the good, wonderful things we love, the NFL offices. And now on Sunday, you have to explain to your son and your daughter why there's some complete flaming homosexual acting like a woman with the other woman cheerleaders on the Minnesota Vikings field. Don't dismiss it as nothing. It is something. And they did it on purpose. I've brought this up before. That's why they did the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts. It's kind of a weird thing, right? Did you see this story? Girl Scout troop leader was removed because she refused to promote gender sexuality alliance clubs in New Jersey. Here's one mom.
We saw kind of a change in our own town where they would have town events at a church that actually displayed pride flags, progressive pride flags. They had a trans-identifying 13-year-old come and do a event there, promising music, ice cream, pizza. And I couldn't even bring my troop to these town events because it was completely inappropriate for children to see. They shouldn't be around anything sexual. I called them out on it this past June. They said, you know, all the troops are going to be doing this LGB, you know, however many letters are in that, and encouraging that all of the town troops would be doing it, saying, yes, Park Ridge, you know, encourages this. And I shared it because a lot of parents were quite upset. They said, you know, one parent said, my husband wants me to pull my daughter out of girls.
Why would they do? Why Girl Scouts? Can't they just leave that alone? Girl Scouts are important. Used to be. Teaching young women values. Incredibly important values. Did you think the communist was going to let that go? Communist doesn't think that way. We have to start understanding better how he thinks and why he does the things he does before we will ever be able to take them on. Remember that. All right? And look, speaking of corporate values, I have bad news for you. The communist has wormed his way all the way up the chain in Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile. If you still support these companies with your money, you're giving money to all this disgusting filth. That's why you need to switch to Pure Talk, because the communist has been barred from the doors at Pure Talk. Pure Talk, their CEO is a veteran. He doesn't tolerate this nonsense. Pure Talk is so American, they hire Americans. You can keep your phone or get a new one. Keep your phone number. Switching's easy and you'll save money a lot. Go to puretalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't
shoot at the United States. Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah.
America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to my Substack. Last week's cold turns out to have been COVID, quite a flashback. And Donald Trump is still president and still humiliating America on a national stage, standing next to Vladimir Putin. It's like a dream, a bad dream you can't wake up from. But I don't want to talk about that bad dream this week. I want to talk about a truly inspirational public figure named Taylor Swift. I'm in a family's Swiftie group chat. I know all her music, and I listen to it in my headphones when I cut the grass. While our elderly makeup-covered president is posting about whether Taylor Swift is still hot and declaring that he can't stand her, what's she doing? Living her best life, producing great music, and, as she urged all of us to do during the podcast, not giving the jerks power over her mind. She said something about dealing with internet trolls that stuck with me. Think of your energy as if it's expensive, she said. As if it's like a luxury item. Not everyone can afford it.
Joining me now, Liz Wheeler, host of the Liz Wheeler Show. Liz, that gentleman was the former head of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Does it seem like the leaders of the West lack a certain level of seriousness today, or is that just me being an old curmudgeon? Do we lack seriousness?
James Comey is a freak. He is a freak. I watched the entire 5-minute video of James Comey drooling, fanboying over Taylor Swift. 5 minutes of my life I will never get back. Do you understand? Do the math here. Do you understand how creepy this is? He talks about going to his first Taylor Swift concert 14 years ago or something like that. Do you know how old Taylor Swift was? She would have been like 19 or 20. And he was a 50-year-old man. That's really, really creepy. It's so weird to me. But here's the thing, Jesse. James Comey is different than a lot of other swamp creatures. Like, a lot of swamp creatures are really dumb. Peter Strzok is a good example. Like, he was obviously just used as a patsy. He's stupid. He's a sheep. He's a follower. They wanted him to commit the crime so that they had plausible deniability. James Comey is not like that. James Comey is actually a very strategic thinker. He's just a bad person. So he uses his intelligence for bad things. For example, think about when he posted on his Instagram that rock formation, 8647. And then pretended, oh, I thought that was someone's street address. No, you didn't. You're the former FBI director. You know that the insinuation is killing President Trump. You're not stupid. You just think we're stupid. But the reason he did that, he knew when he posted that it would create backlash. He knew he would get a visit from the Secret Service, but he had no intention of killing Trump, so they would leave. He knew he would not face charges, and he knew he would get questioned by even mainstream media about it, and it would lead to selling books because it was the week before his book was released. So he was like 4 or 5 steps ahead of the actual action that he was taking. That's how I interpret this video of him drooling over Taylor Swift. Yes, he's a freak. Yes, he's a creep. Yes, our leaders are unserious. But the question in my mind about this video is why? Why did James Comey post this video? Because I know that it's just step one in some other plot. What's coming next?
I'm glad you brought that up, Liz, because I've been wondering about this myself. John Brennan, who rumor has it is probably most in jeopardy of possibly going to jail with this whole Russia hoax investigation stuff, his stupid fat face is all over the television set every time I turn it on. Nobody facing a serious legal trial would run and do interviews all the time. No lawyer worth their salt would allow their client to do that. Yet he is. Why is he unafraid? Why is James Comey unafraid? I'm nervous to even ask you, but why aren't any of these people afraid?
Because Republicans are weak. Republicans are impotent. Republicans are afraid to actually play to win. They know the Democrats can commit crimes, and they know that they will get away with those crimes because they have gotten away with crimes for decades and decades because Republicans are so nice. Republicans want to be gentlemen and get drinks after arguing on the floor of Congress. They want to be bipartisan. They don't want to target their political enemies because that's not what our country was meant to do. And the result of this is we get steamrolled over and over and over. Think about how long James Comey and John Brennan have been swamp creatures, how many years they have committed crimes against the American people and gotten away with this. They know that they can go on MSNBC or what's it called now? MS Now. I don't even know what that's supposed to stand for. More Stupidity Now, probably. They can go on these media outlets, and these media outlets are propagandists. They run cover for the criminals as long as the crimes are committed against you and against me. So it's not courage or confidence that causes these confidence and justice, I should say, that causes James Comey and John Brennan to go on media on a media tour when they are facing what should be charges. It's confidence that Pam Bondi's Department of Justice is at the most significant going to get a little slap on the wrist for a perjury charge.
Oh, that's, you know what? Let's shift gears and talk about something wonderful. The mental illness in the Democrat Party. Here was Dome slurring her way through a little interview.
I think what they're doing is they're cheating. They want to change the current system to make it bend toward the outcome they want. And so, you know, if you believe the public reporting, they get a call that says, hey, redo your lines. Even though the fallout is going to include exactly what you said, which is, you know, taking the franchise, the vote, away from specific communities. And in the case of Texas, Latino and Black voters.
Yeah.
And diluting their votes. And this is not a census year.
Yeah.
But this is a year with the big, beautiful bill and the unpopularity of it. And so they want to bend the rules. And I have to say that, you know, those Texan legislators, good for them.
It's the music that kills me, the dramatic music.
Whoever put that music on there, hire them. Hire them as a producer.
I know, it's terrible. They are just a bunch of theater kids, aren't they, Liz? It's so much drama all the time.
I mean, listen, look at the table in front of Kamala Harris. There are two glasses sitting in front of her. One is filled with water and the other one is empty.
That pretty much says it all. I have to ask you about this. Joy Ann Reid, who got fired from MSNBC, not for saying kooky things like this. She went on TV, she said this.
They can't fix the history they did. Their ancestors made this country into a slave hell. But they can clean it up now because they got the Smithsonian. They can get rid of all the slavery stuff. They got PragerU. They can lie about the history to the children. They can't originally invent anything more than they ever were able to invent good music. We Black folk gave y'all country music, hip-hop, R&B, jazz, rock and roll. They couldn't even invent that. But they have to call a white man the king. Because they couldn't make rock and roll. So they have to stamp the king on a man whose main song was stolen from an overweight Black woman.
Liz, I feel like the country's kind of done with this this kind of race-baiting branding. I think the George Floyd protests tapped out America's energy for it. It just doesn't seem to get traction anymore. Am I wrong?
I mean, I had a little bit of a hard time following her convoluted thinking and speaking, to be perfectly honest. But it seemed to me that she was saying that you as a white man, Jesse, are to blame for all sins of all white men in all bygone eras, which is ridiculous. It's one of the reasons, actually, that kind of ridiculous thinking. It's a false accusation, right? We as human beings, one of the worst accusations you can face is being racist. And it's a good thing that that's one of the worst accusations. No one wants to be racist because it's dehumanizing another child of God. And so in our country, it is the worst accusation you can face is to be racist, which is why the left often falsely accuses people of that, because they are trying to assassinate people's character beyond the point of no return. But the problem is that when you do this so often to so many innocent people, eventually people realize, hey, I don't have to take this. I don't want my children taught this. I don't want this racialism to be the foundation of our society. And the left went too far with this critical race theory stuff, and they are suffering the backlash. And it's a good backlash. It's not just personal or professional backlash. It is a reclaiming of justice and a reclaiming of equality in our country, both governmentally and in our culture. And Joy Ann Reid is a perfect example of that.
Liz, thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it. We have light in the mood. Before we lighten the mood, let me make your tomorrow better. And the day after that, and the day after that, and the day after that. You know how I'm going to do that? I'm going to give you a good night's sleep. Well, I mean, I'm not. Beam is. Dream powder from Beam. It's life-changing. Taking something to sleep. I know there are so many things you can take. I'm not naive. Doctor will write you a prescription. You can go right down to local pharmacy and pick something up. And what do all those things have in common? Every single one of them. When you wake up the next day, you feel horrible. You don't feel rested. Oh, you slept for 19 hours. You're still groggy, your eyes hanging out. It's horrible. But Dream Powder is natural. It's a cup of hot chocolate with a bunch of natural things in it. It's not like you go drop into a coma. You just kind of relax and go to sleep. And when you wake up, it's like you didn't take a thing. You're fired up, ready to go. Go try some. shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly gets you a huge discount. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth
and help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah.
America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is time to lighten the mood, and I do love it that every part of the right, every part of society seems to be more willing now than they ever were to give it right back to the filthy communists. You see, these filthy communists have been used to being the only aggressor in every social setting. That's why your liberal Aunt Peggy used to show up at Thanksgiving screaming about her 15th abortion, and now she's a little bit more quiet because the right has had enough. Enjoy an ICE agent telling some tubby commie that's exactly what she is. I see them all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth
and help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.